take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. We have been spending these last weeks studying Paul's letter to Timothy, and today we come to the summation of almost everything that we have heard so far. But before we get into that, I want to make sure that we are absolutely clear on something. When you and I share this sermon time together, my expectation is not that you are necessarily going to have an eureka moment in your thinking and all of a sudden become a super Christian, involved in four ministries, catching up on that pledge and then going beyond it in blessed thanksgiving for all that our Lord God has done for each one of us. I don't expect that. Although out of those four things, I wouldn't mind just two of those happening. So please, consider those. I'll leave it up to you which two. No, but what I do expect, seriously, what I do expect, especially with a congregation of our character, is really two things. First off, for the vast majority of us, I expect a nodding of the head in agreement with what I am encouraging our congregation to do. There should be nothing that you are hearing that is brand new to you, especially given the learning opportunities here at the parish, as well as the time each one of us has spent in the pew. So please, nod your head and say to yourself, yep, this is Christianity. The priest is encouraging us with words straight from Scripture. Second, I really expect that what we discuss will be put into use in individual lives. There is nothing foreign or strange or weird to the believer that you have heard from this pulpit since I arrived. It is incumbent upon the body of Christ to be reminded of the Word of God and then to put that Word of God to use in our several lives. This is normal. And it's okay to do that, please. Does this sound tiring? Well, it is if our prayer lives are not really in fine tune. Is it tiring to live the Christian life? Only if we refrain from asking the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead to dwell within us and to strengthen us. That is why I chose the opening portion of Paul's line to Timothy. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. The words take hold indicate that there will be some expenditure of energy in the normative Christian life. What we are speaking of is the same life that Jesus spoke of to his disciples. It is the same life that will set us apart from every other do-gooder, non-believer out there. This isn't the easy life that we talk about here in church, because life in the Christian trenches is not easy. Jesus never taught ease. He taught God's plan for life that is abundant. This is the kind of life that will give life because we follow the author of life. In our letter, Paul is instructing Timothy to live this type of life. Really take it by the horns and live the Christian life of freedom, salvation, and service. Paul is trying to set out for Timothy's congregation the kind of life that would eliminate the boredom of merely accumulating enough years to finally give up the ghost. Paul wanted them to be able to use the adjective Christian about themselves without bursting into flame. That was supposed to be funny. Now, I'm making light of this, but there is this undercurrent that we need to engage in the Christian life. I am encouraging all of us to take a hold of the Christian life The eternal life. So often we think of life eternal as something we receive at the end of our earthly pilgrimage. But friends, this is not true at all. It is the life to begin living right now on this side of the veil. It is the present reality of the eternal. Remember the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer is very specific about this. Eternal life is in the here and now because Christ Jesus is in the here and in the now. Jesus brought God's life-giving presence near us. And this is so important. This is so important because before Jesus, people had to go to the temple to be near the dwelling place of God. Yet with the coming of our Lord Christ, He is near. He is God among us. He is Emmanuel. Paul, over the course of his letter, provides what this life must look like in order to prepare or even to sweep out our hearts so that we can hear the Holy Spirit who dwells in us by virtue of our baptism. We are to keep the commandments. We are to keep ourselves free from reproach. I'm looking to see smiles and noddings of heads now. Good, thank you. Paul speaks about the rich and how easy it would be for us in this parish to think that we are not rich at all. But I would remind us that over 80% of the population on this planet lives on less than 10 American dollars a day. Trust me, when Paul wrote this letter, every single one of us here in this room would be wealthy beyond imagining. And we still are wealthy beyond all imagining. Paul says to each one of us individually, including the priest up here, we are not to be haughty. We are not to set our hope on wealth. We are to do good. To be rich in good deeds. We are to be generous. And when we do these things, we will lay up a good foundation for our future.
Amen.
Right on. Thank you. This is a challenge by any standard. What Paul is describing is the standard by which Christians are to be compared to every other person who does not believe. How else are we to show ourselves to be any different from anyone else if we do not hang on to the real life that Paul describes and that Jesus offers? We are to understand, friends, that life, a real life, lived to the full, is one of giving. Of giving. We don't have life by keeping to ourselves. We don't have life by shunning the norms of the supernatural life that is offered through the power of the Holy Spirit, a life of service, a life of generosity. This is the track for the normative Christian life. And it is here where we will find affirmation of life because we will be drawing on the eternal, because we will have to draw on the eternal to live this kind of life that is offered. This kind of life, friends, this kind of life lived in Christ is one that thirsts for God to be present in and with His people. Please think hard on these words of St. Paul. They describe a gospel life that leads to salvation, leads to the divine who beckons us with every move we make towards Him. The life abundant. Will you please pray with me? O God, who declarest thy almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us such a measure of thy grace that we, running to obtain thy promises, may be made partakers of thy heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.